Praise you, Jesus.
Anybody have a word you want to share or anything? Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what to do. I'll save you a couple of steps.
She wanted to hear me when I talked, and she couldn't hear me. So I just want to say that we should keep the main thing, and that's to be conformed in the image of our Father's Son, Jesus. That's the main thing, to be conformed into His image by spending time with Him, focusing on Him. Now, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's all in Him. So we need to be conformed to the image of His Son to walk in this authority. Kind of like, okay, now the thief, when he comes in your house and steals your stuff, does he have authority to do that? No, he doesn't have no authority at all, but he does it, right? And that's the devil, too. He comes in doing bad stuff, but he has no authority to do it. He just has the ability. He comes in. Sometimes he lies to you, telling you he has authority to do it. He doesn't have authority. The devil's conning you. Don't believe it. So you take the badge of Jesus. Stop. In the name of Jesus. We have the authority in Christ. And so becoming in the image of Jesus Christ, that is the main thing. So we have authority to tell the devil to shut up and get out of here. Amen. By the authority of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Oh, I have a praise report. Wednesday night, we prayed for my cousin who was having surgery, and I think I shared that when she went in for a CAT scan, her focal cancer lit up like a Christmas tree. And I'm afraid the next time she had a scan, there would be nothing. So she had surgery to remove the offending part, which I don't know what it was. Anyway, she had a CAT scan, and there's no cancer in her body. And then she said, I received a miracle. Praise the Lord. Now,
amen.
Yeah. And it said, don't come back for 6 months. I mean, that is a miracle.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes.
That's some good news on the cancer front. I mean, I keep praying no matter what.
Well, we pray. There's no but about it. You know? That's the thing. We prayed that the next light would be the light of the Lord. And the light of the Lord blots out all those other lights. Amen? Hallelujah. So we are thankful. Praise God. Praise God. We have to learn to wait. That wait thing. Just wait. You know, I mean, we tell people, just wait, just wait, just wait. Now, we tell people just wait when we are confident about something. You know, it's like a little child wants to know, when are we going to get there? And we say, just wait, because we're on the road and we know that we're going to get there. And so that's the thing that, see, God is the one that tells us, just wait. Now, if He tells us just wait, it's because He has confidence. Now we say, well, He's God. He's got confidence. Well, God is confident in what God can do. But we have something to do with it. Just as Fred was saying, we are being made in the image of Christ. That was in us. He created us. Amen. He created us with that. But then, after He created us with that, it's that, remember we talked about that piece, that one piece. And that's the only piece that God didn't complete. And that's the piece that we put in when we fill in that spot by receiving the truth. By receiving Christ. Receiving Christ is the first truth. And then the rest of the truth comes. And every time the truth comes, we just put that piece right there. It's like it's like, you know, these computer things, you know. It's like a folder on the computer. You drag and drop. You drag and drop. You drag things in. You can drag it in. On my phone, I can have one app and I can drag another one in. Only usually when I do that, it's by accident. So then I can't find the one that I was looking for because it's hidden in the other one. Well, you see, there's a great deal of the things of God that are hidden in Christ. But it's a running app. Now, if you use apps at all, you know that when you have an app that is running, when you hit it, it opens up more quickly. Now, if it's not running at the time, or if it is running, you can find it somewhere else on your screen. And I don't have any idea what I'm talking about, except that I know that it's a fact that when I have the app already running, it pops up, and it pops up to where I was before. It's that thing that we just can't quite put our finger on sometimes, you know? Well, that's what you do with an app. You put your finger on something, and it begins to operate. And so it is that with God, sometimes we are in a place where we know something, but we just can't quite put our finger on it. And so then, Jesus. The name of Jesus opens that up for us. And so when the Lord says, wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. Just wait upon the Lord, you'll behold the glory of God. Wait. We are not natural waiters, but oh my, can we become supernatural waiters. If you look in James, you know, he says, be patient and take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now, I use that part because patience and waiting are things that go hand in hand. We've got to wait. If you look in that chapter, you see that James, he's telling them, look, you've got to do this because the Lord's coming soon. The Lord's coming is near. Now, they believed the Lord's coming was near, and that was 2,000 years ago. But to them, when they got to understanding the wait upon the Lord, it was as though it was right now. It was coming now. It was like anticipation of a child at Christmas. It was like people when they gather for a Thanksgiving dinner and they smell the turkey. Waiting for it to come out, and then waiting for it to be sliced, and then waiting, you know, and those of us who have experience in waiting, we know that it will happen. Little children, because they are not used to the waiting, it needs to happen right faster. And we think it's so cute. You know? We just chuckle and we have fun. You know, we have something that's just kind of out of the just kind of off the cuff here, but I'm thinking about, you know, hearing those little feet running in church, you know, and it's just great. It's not an annoyance. It's just great. Okay, and the thing that makes us, I really believe, makes us different than a lot of places is that the adults are just as willing to run around as the kids are. Nobody's going to complain if you get up and do a Jericho march, you know. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, we come and we come to wait upon the Lord. We come to be in the presence of the Lord. This main thing I was reading this morning, it says, you know, the main thing with God is holiness. And holiness is being set apart for God. It's not trying to get just right when we walk in. It's like we're right to walk in because we want to walk in, because we want to be in the presence of God. We're set apart to God. We desire God. This is the thing that as we come to understand it, you see, the more that we wait upon the Lord, the more we experience the fullness of God. And so we wait. There's a lot of waiting with God, and there's a lot of suddenly with God. You understand that? There are sudden understandings. Oftentimes we can be waiting on one thing and get understanding about another thing. I was thinking about the love of God and you know, the fact that His love is established, okay? His love is. He is love. And his love for us is established. It's stated. If God says it, it's true. Right? Okay. And our love for God then is a response to his, because it's not that we first loved him, but it's not that we love him, it's that he first loved us. And as we understand that he loves us, then our love can begin to grow toward him, and our love should grow for him the more that we know him. And so as I was laying in bed and I'm praying and I'm thinking about this, and all of a sudden if we have not love, then we have nothing. And it was just like everything else was erased. And if I don't have love for God, I have nothing. It's my love for God that everything flows from. And so that's why before we love God, not much is flowing. And that's why when we do begin to love God, something changes. And if we will nurture that, it'll just keep changing, because we'll continue to love him more. You know, it rings in my mind when I say, when I come to God, when I think about God, I cease to think about the other things. The desire to praise him overrides the other things. When I think about God, when I come into thinking about God, not thinking about what I don't have or what needs to be done or anything like that, but I just stop and I think about God, it overrides all of that other stuff, and then there's that desire to praise. And if I get myself or find myself caught up in thinking about what's not working and what's wrong and what I need and everything that is not quite where it ought to be, that causes me to think about God. When I think about God, I want to praise. I'm thankful for that. You see, the whole thing is to bring us back to the Lord. So, on Tuesday, I was driving Monday, someday. I went somewhere today, this week. Oh, Monday night, I went to teen court. So, on the way home from teen court, I'm thinking about this loving God thing, and as I'm thinking about growing in my love for him, and I'm thinking about that, I got this question that comes into my mind, but I'm really hesitant to vocalize it. I'm really hesitant to say it. I'm thinking about this thought, and it's like all of a sudden it seems like too enormous of a thought to consider. But I'm thinking about it. And the Lord says, go ahead and say it. And so I said, Lord, I nurture my love for you. Can your love for me grow? I think it can. I think that we can nurture the Lord's love toward us. See, I'm thinking the same things you were thinking when I was thinking about saying it. He's love. He just is. He changes not. And yet he's an ever-increasing God. But can I do something to encourage his love toward me? Well, as I vocalized it, and he didn't really say anything, but I had like scriptures come, like John said, the disciple who Jesus loved. What made him think he was so special? But you see, he had nurtured that relationship. It increases something with God. You see, We were built inside of us. We got this thing. We want something special. It's because we want something special that sometimes jealousy and anger and all of those things rise up, because we want something more for us. Right? Okay? Now, I'm not saying that that's going to make me say, well, God loved me more than he loved somebody else. But God, I believe God can love me more tomorrow than he does today. Now, I'm still working on this, okay? But one thing that I know about that is that that has put a new consideration into other actions. Because, you see, okay, like if I want my wife to love me more, I don't want to be calling other women and trying to nurture their relationship for me. Now, that sounds silly because that just wouldn't happen. But, you know, if she came in and I got a dial on my phone that is odd that she hasn't ever seen before and she hears me talking sweet nothings to somebody else, is her love going to grow for me? Her attention's going to grow for me for a little bit. But her love, you see, and so what I'm talking about here is if as we come to the understanding of the growing in the Lord, then there are things that come to our awareness so that we can deepen our relationship. If I can't go deeper into God, I've gone as far as I can go. I haven't gone as far as I can go. And so whether it is increasing my awareness of his love as I get closer or whether it's him loving me more in our relationship, well, that's side play. That's something I don't have to know. But the fact that I thought it, first of all, I believe that had to come from God. And the fact that he said, say it, that had to come from God because God says it. And so now it gives me a new chapter to consider. And so I'm offering it to you to consider as well. God expects us to love him more, doesn't he? Well, he wouldn't expect us to do something he wouldn't do, would he? Would he? He says we're supposed to forgive, and he's already shown us that he forgives. Remember, we said that in Ezekiel, he was saying, I'm fed up with you. I'm done with you. I'm going to make you repay everything that you've done to me. But then he had another plan. Instead of making you repay, I'll just pay for it. So, wouldn't it make sense that his love could grow for us? Relationship. He said, I got this one thing against you. You've lost your first love. Remember? He says, I've got one thing against you. You lost your first love. You lost that love. You see, when we first love God, when we begin to love him, we want to get all of him that we can. And then comes doubts and concerns, and then comes things that say, oh, maybe this isn't even real, and then comes this thing of what's in it for me, and it comes all of that stuff, and we press through all of those things, and we keep going. But you know, sometimes people have gone strong with God for a long time and then just walked away from him. Makes no sense. But the only reason I can think that someone would walk away from God is because they lost sight that they could walk deeper into God. They're deceived into thinking that God failed them somewhere. See? See, so I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about, okay, there's a difference between being carefree and free from care. Don't you think? See, we can think, well, somebody's got all kinds of money, so they've got a carefree life, but yet they're not free from care. We're never free from the tentacles that care can create in our lives until we're free from care. And that doesn't mean that we don't care. It just means that we're free from what care can do to us. Make sense? Jesus. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was dying. Lazarus was going to be dead. Did Jesus care? Of course he cared. But he was free from care. In other words, he was free from rushing into something because he cared so much. He was free from worry about what they were going to say when he showed up and he didn't show up quick enough. Hey, when we're free from care, then we're free from the anxiety that it can cause. We're free from the mental gymnastics that come from it. And so it doesn't mean that we don't care. It just means that we're free from that care. Don't you care? The question of the Lord. Don't you care? Don't I care? Doesn't God care? Look at everything that's going on in the world. Doesn't God care? Of course he cares. But he's free from allowing the care to cause him to do something that he shouldn't do. Now, obviously, he's God, so he doesn't have to worry about those things. But Jesus, who was all God and all man, came to this world, tempted in every way as we were, and he saw how to overcome the cares of this world. Cast your cares on me. I care for you. Cast them on him and we become carefree. Take them back and we're care full of care. That doesn't mean that we can't be careful. But we want to be free from care, because being free from care allows us to wait. Wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength. Care comes in and says, but it doesn't feel like it, but it doesn't seem like it, but what's taking him so long? But this, but that, the other thing. That's care for ourselves, getting it our way. Free from care says, God said it, it's good. Free from care says, I'm waiting on the Lord. Now, waiting isn't just sitting, but waiting is moving free from care. What a wonderful thing for Vicky's cousin to have a real revelation of God, and then to attribute it to God. Because you see, when we attribute things to God, we're adding to ourselves as well. We're opening the door for the next thing. And when we behold those things that God has done, and remember, we've talked about remembering those. Remember, don't cast aside your sure confidence. Don't cast it aside. Don't let it go. No. Hold on to it. Look back at it. See what God has done. Do those things that remind you of the goodness of God, not what we see as the failures of God. Because if we feel like God has failed, then we're not going to be very good at waiting. Sometimes we need to just wait for our faith to be restored, for our confidence to be restored. We need to just let the Lord do and be what the Lord wants to do and be. Because he wants to do far more than we realize. And as we nurture our love toward him and his love toward us, our confidence grows. The Bible tells us we need to think on these things. We need to think on these things. The enemy wants us to think on everything else. He wants us to think about the cares. He wants us to think about the worries. He wants us to think about the woes. He wants us to think about the times that we're sure God failed us. That's what he wants us to get focused on. And man, when we're thinking on that, we just can't wait. We just can't wait. When Shiloh was going to be born, I was supposed to sing for a funeral. And Vicki informed me that I probably wasn't going to sing for that funeral. And I was just pretty certain that certainly it would work out that I could sing for that funeral. But just in case, I just came over here and recorded the songs that I was going to sing for that funeral. And I dropped them off to the funeral director and I said, I may be having a baby when this takes place, but this is all set up. Somebody just got to punch it in and turn them on. We were so close. I almost left for the funeral. And Vicki said, no, we got to go. I said, well, we could just have this one at home. We've already had three. One on the road, four. She wasn't into that idea. So we took off. And about the time that we got to the truck weigh station at the Oneida Junction, she was saying, pull over, I'm going to have the baby now. I said, nope, you wouldn't have it home. You're going to have to wait. Just wait, baby. And so we prayed and we waited and we got there and I'm wheeling her in and they said, okay, should we put you in this room? I said, not unless you want to have a baby in that room. She's having a baby. And we went and we had the baby, and we didn't have to wait long once we got there. There's a lot of waiting opportunities. And according to the Lord, waiting is a great opportunity to increase our faith. And he even tells us that while we're waiting, give thanks. Because we're certain that he's heard us and that what we have prayed for is coming. And so we give thanks. So as we come into the week of the celebration of the Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving was really amplified during the Civil War. We're going to have a day of Thanksgiving while the nation is torn apart and brothers are fighting brothers and dads are fighting sons. The president said, we're going to have a day of Thanksgiving. What in the world was there to give thanks for? The same thing we always have to give thanks for. The goodness of God in the land of the living. And if we will just wait on what we know, or wait on what is about to be revealed, or just wait upon the Lord and give him thanks and give him praise and grow deeper into his love and reveal that image of Christ. That he might be revealed in me. Oh, Father, I know that you love me. I know that there is nothing that you wouldn't do for me. That is a deeper understanding of the love of God. And it's that love of God that is to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We will find out when we get there how much we didn't understand. But I can't wait to get there to find out. But God has made a way through Christ and by the Holy Spirit that we can find out many of those mysteries as we seek the Lord. Waiting patiently upon Him. Oh, how He loves you and me. How does He love us? How much more does He love us than we actually comprehend? How much more love is there? Can I nurture God's love toward me? Can we? It's worth considering. And more of Him is certainly worth waiting for. Free from care. Free from anxieties and fears. Free from. Does that mean that they won't try to come? No, but it means, as Fred said, we've got authority. Because it is written. The Lord has said. Jesus said, hey, I don't need to turn rocks into bread. For it is written, God shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's a lot of words that proceeded out of God's mouth I haven't used yet. I've read all the ones that have been written, but I haven't used them all. I've prayed them as they stirred in my heart, but I haven't necessarily put them into action. But I am willing that if the Lord says, go ahead and say it, to say it. And then I'm willing to consider the implications of what He says to go ahead and say. So what is the Lord saying to you? I can't wait to find out. Father, in Jesus' name, You are bigger, better, more wonderful than we can fully comprehend, but we're trying. We have freedom. We know where to cast our cares to be free from care. We know where to focus our love. We know where to focus our prayers, to direct them unto You. Help us, Lord, to put into action all that You have given us. And we'll just keep praising You and keep thanking You and waiting patiently upon You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.